the fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights.
Let's talk to you. Phone lines are open. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance. 1-888-660-0590. The Blue Jays have won 8 in a row. 35-36. And back-to-back sweeps. 4 against Texas and now 3 against the Colorado Rockies. Anthony and Maple, you're going to lead things off on the Blue Jays talk. Listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Welcome aboard.
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right. Go ahead.
Good. I want to say congratulations to the Jays and keep it up, keep rolling. And I want to just say that, you know what, I've always had confidence in the Jays to continue playing and the way they are. And to the naysayers that we're talking about disbanding this team and treating this person and get rid of that person, that the season was done, including some of your radio personalities, I'd love to know, and maybe tomorrow when they're on air, how they feel now and what they think the Jays are going to do.
Well, I mean, you know, when you live by the sword, you die by the sword, right? And if you're going to go out on a limb and declare a season over in the middle of April, far right. more often than not, you're going to look pretty stupid. And certainly, you know, all these wins count. The season continues. There are 91 games left in it, and the Blue Jays are a game under 500. And you know what? It's going to be quite a fun summer, it looks like.
I think so. I think the other four or five teams that these people were saying that we could not catch because there's too many, I think are shaking in their boots a little bit because the Jays only seem they can get stronger. Reyes coming back. Milky's going to go into his more natural position. The confidence level, obviously, is going to continue to grow. So I think these other teams, watch out.
Well, I think they've known about the Blue Jays all along, and I'm sure they were thrilled to see them get off to that 10-21 start. But everybody knew that this team was too talented and too good to just blow up like that. I appreciate the call, Anthony. You're absolutely right. You know, the idea that the Blue Jays could potentially get better than they've been is it's just not possible. I mean, they're 12-4 in the month of June. You're not going to play better than that over a sustained period of time. But, you know, this run is really, really helping them out, and they can get to a spot where they're kind of right in the thick of things through this run. They're not there yet, certainly. But they went into today's game at 34-36 with the Yankees and Rangers tied for the second wild card spot, and the Blue Jays were just 4.5 back. So the Jays have closed to within 4 of the New York Yankees, though the Rangers are winning right now 6-3 over Oakland. So if it stays like that, the Blue Jays will be just 4.5 games back still of that second playoff spot, and that is by no means out of anything, especially in the middle of June. The one thing, and Anthony said it, and a lot of people have mentioned this to me, that I want to address is this hockey mentality of too many teams to pass. There are a lot of teams to pass, and this is supposed to be, I mean, it does, you know, there are people out there who think, well, even if they're only 3 games back, if there are 4 teams ahead of them, that's too many. You can't pass that many teams. That's hockey. That's not baseball. In hockey, you get points for losing, and it's really, really hard to gain ground on multiple teams. Baseball doesn't award points for losing. You have to actually win games in order to move up in the standings. So it is not nearly that difficult to pass multiple teams when you're playing well. John in Oakville, you're up next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike. How's it doing?
Doing all right, John. How are you?
That's great. Talk about a restoration of faith for the fans, eh?
Well, it's part of being a fan. When your team wins 8 in a row and 12 out of 16, you're going to be excited.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely exciting. I'm seeing a whole ton of good things, but I wanted to talk about Casey Jansen. I've always been a huge fan of this guy, but I was at the game tonight sitting behind home plate and just seeing him perform and the way he stands over the mound, I think he's really becoming one of those intimidating closers, even though he doesn't have that huge stature, crazy walkout music. He just works so quickly, and he seems like he's really getting into the heads of everybody out there, no matter who the Jays are playing.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I think he's getting into their heads by being aggressive and throwing strikes and good quality strikes and not falling behind and coming at you really quickly. Like Casey says, whether it's good or bad, it's going to be over in a hurry. Is he an intimidating guy? His stuff and his control should be intimidating.
Yeah, I'm so impressed with it. I can't get over it. And he embraced the role, and he blew his first save, and he hasn't shown any signs of it getting him rattled or anything like that.
Yeah, no reason it would. I mean, the guy is a really, really good pitcher, and he has been every single year he's been in the big leagues when he's been healthy. And you know, people like Casey Jansen don't often get a shot to be a closer because they don't have that overpowering stuff, and they're not menacing looking or whatever. And it's great that, you know, even though desperation caused it, and he was clearly plan C last year for the Blue Jays to be the closer, it's great that he got the shot, and to his credit, he has taken the ball and run with it and done a phenomenal job at the back end of that bullpen. Thanks for the call. We will take more calls on the other side. We've got an update coming, and then we will fill you in on what else is going on around the world of Major League Baseball and get you set for Friday's game, and we will carry over the Blue Jays talk onto our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, onto Sportsnet590.ca. Actually, we're there right now, as well as Rogers Digital Cable Channel 904 and your Rogers radio app. The Blue Jays talk continues. A 5-2 win over the Rockies. That's 8 in a row. It's the Honda Post Game Show on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network.
Blue Jays are here against the Orioles as well as Molinari hits the ground ball over first. A fair ball base hit down the line. He cuts the corner. He's on his way to second. He's thinking three. Kawasaki on his way to third. There's no relay. He's got a triple.
It's a great way to get a crowd going. A triple with that little ground ball into the right field corner, and Kawasaki would come in to score on an RBI single by Melky Cabrera to give the Blue Jays a little bit of insurance they didn't need, as they beat the Colorado Rockies 5-2 for an eighth straight win. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. We're taking your phone calls, and let's go out to Nepean. Eric is listening on News 1310 in Ottawa. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Thank you. A pleasure. I just want to give a shout-out to the coach and all the new coaches on the, you know, they revamped their whole pitching coaching staff, and Gibby's done a great job, you know, and he makes sure all the players get involved in the game, so everybody participates and is contributing right now, and they've done a great job with the bullpen, and they're having much better quality at bats. You know, they've taken a page out of Kawasaki's book, you know, trying to get, you know, work the count, and it's paying dividends.
Some of them absolutely have, yes.
Yeah, some could do better. They can lay off the low, you know, out of the zone pitches and make the pitchers get it up.
But, well, it's not that easy, Eric, and it's tough to find things to complain about right now when they're going so well. But, you know, I appreciate the words of praise for John Gibbons, because certainly we have more than enough people calling in to fire him a month ago. So it's good to hear that his work is now being appreciated. Thanks for the call. Oh, what? You got more? Huh?
It's great. I'm wondering what's going to happen with Brett Laurie coming back, when he comes back, because, you know, the team is clicking. They've got great chemistry, and I hope he's going to learn and follow the guidance of the veteran players that have turned the ship around.
Yeah, I don't think any of those players have a problem with Brett Laurie at all.
No.
So I wouldn't worry about that, but it is going to be a while, I think, before he's ready to come back off of that sprained ankle. Thanks for the call, Eric. Appreciate it. We move on. Another one from Ottawa. Lee, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, thanks. I'm just calling because I was saying earlier that I am 28 now. I'm lucky enough to be just old enough to remember the World Series.
Yep.
And I remember, you know, I was that little kid that did the with my older brother trying to recreate the 5-4-3 double play, Roberto Alomar, you know, and I've learned now to be a baseball fan first, Blue Jays fan second, and just to sit back and watch baseball, the way that they're playing it, I've never seen it played better, especially not by my team. You know, they're hitting small ball over and over and over again, consistently hanging small crooked numbers, consistently hitting bombs when they need to hit bombs or when they can hit bombs. If I'm not mistaken, Brett Cecil just passed David Cone.
Yep.
I think for what was it, 37 batters faced without
now
giving 38. Up a hit.
Yep, 38 batters
That's
faced
outrageous.
Without giving up a hit. That is ridiculous.
That's incredible.
Yep.
And the, you know, with Lurie and Reyes and Morrow and all these injuries, yeah, I mean, there's ups and downs to every baseball season. But what I'm watching right now, like, I've never been so excited to actually see it happening the way it's supposed to be happening. And I say that, like, the game of baseball, not just my team, but they're playing it so well, executing things so well. And, you know, people, of course, are on me in the early season. Oh, what about your Jays? You know, they're falling apart. And, you know, you just sit back and let them do what they do. And, you know, it's just, I'm so excited to watch what I'm watching right now. I've got nothing bad to say. And I think that the Adam Lind as well, coming back, doing what he's doing, it's just, everybody just seems to have relaxed. I think the pressure is off and they're just doing what they can do. And I'm thrilled about it.
Yeah, it really has been a lot of fun to watch. And you know what? They are playing really, really tremendous baseball, like you said. I mean, they're not eking out wins here. They've outscored the opposition now 46-13 over this eight-game win streak. Which
these
you know,
past two back-to-back sweeps were against teams above 500, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Like, this is just incredible stuff.
It really is.
And when they won seven in a row, 2008.
Like, well, that was a 10-game winning streak back in 2008. So,
2008, okay.
Yeah, it's been almost 5 years.
I'm having a good time. That's all I'm calling to say. I'm having a real good time.
Glad to hear it.
All right, thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you, Lee. Appreciate it. Getting a couple of tweets here as well at Wilderness590. At Saliba1983 says, what happened to all the haters who wanted to blow this team up? I want to know. Where are the fire gibbons and blow the team up and this team's going to lose 100 games, people? Haven't heard from any of them in a long time. Tony is in Mississauga. You're up next on the Blue Jays Talk.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for taking my call, and a great win for the Jays again. Pleasure to watch them now. Like, I watch them anywhere, even on my phone or just any place TV, wherever I can. Just want to ask you a couple of things. Adam Lind, you know, obviously right now he's playing unbelievable.
Yes.
Do you think the Jays should explore some trading option right now?
Why?
With him at his... Well, because he... like, in the event that the management doesn't think this is sustainable for the whole year...
Well, it's certainly not sustainable. He's not going
to
hit 350.
Yeah, trying to get something in return now that he's at his peak, or just see what he can do for the rest of the year.
Why not keep your best hitter when you're trying to make the playoffs?
No, I understand, but because he has, like, an option for his contract next year, I was thinking, like, I don't know, maybe the management is thinking... Let's see what we can get for this guy now that he's playing unbelievable.
That's a very Leaf fan attitude, Tony, I have to tell you. As soon as someone starts playing well, automatically explore trades to see what you can get. I don't think anything the Blue Jays could get for Adam Lind right now would do them better than what Adam Lind is doing for them.
No, I'm not saying I want Adam Lind gone, but like in the event that in the second half of the season I'm not saying he's going to falter, but let's say he falters. And
sure,
then,
which is definitely a possibility.
Yeah, then you know, like his trade value is not going to be high anymore. So maybe the Jays will not pick up his option, and then they have nothing
could
in their
hands. Tony, what could you get right now that's better for this team than what Adam Lind? This is not a team that is building for the future. This is a team that is built to win.
Yeah, okay. That's fair enough, Mike.
Okay.
Another thing I wanted to ask you is like, okay, so they won 8 straight games.
Yep.
That's all great and nice. But like none of these games they've won is against the East Division opponents.
Now, so what?
I'm wondering, like, do they have to beat up within their division for the rest of the teams to say, hey, you know what, maybe the Jays are for real? Or it doesn't really matter who they win to as long as they keep winning?
I don't think it matters whether any of the other teams say, hey, the Blue Jays are for real. All that matters is that they win games and they get themselves in a race. Doesn't matter who they beat. I mean, it's obviously preferable to beat teams within your own division. But, you know, they just won 6 out of 7 against the Texas Rangers, and that's a team that they're chasing for a playoff spot, too. So any game you win is a helpful game to win. If you're winning in your division, obviously that means that teams within your division are losing at the same time. That's why it's so helpful. But the fact that this 12-4 June has not come against anybody from the AL East doesn't mean anything unless they go and start a 10-game losing streak on Friday against the Orioles, which I don't think is going to happen. I appreciate the call. We will get to more of your calls. We will hear from the skipper as well as we continue. It is the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Scales pitch it on the ground ball right side through, a base hit. Coming in to score, Kawasaki, and there's the advantage of a drawn-in infield. The Blue Jays 5, the Rockies 2.
Melky Cabrera, who singles in Munenori Kawasaki's 7th inning triple, makes it 5-2 Blue Jays, and that was your final score, 5-2. 8 straight wins now for your Toronto Blue Jays. Let's go back to the phones. Chris is in Cambridge. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
How you doing, Mike?
All right, go ahead.
I wanted to talk about Adam Lind. You know,
sure.
I've been watching this guy for so long, and I've seen this guy go through the ups and go through the downs. You know, I remember when he hit over 100 RBIs, you know, over 30 home runs, did that twice, I'm pretty sure. Hit over 20 a couple times more, like
only once actually.
Only once.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, you know what? Everybody was so down on this guy.
Yep.
And you know, like when he went down to AAA, you know, got sent down outright. But now look at him. Like he's phenomenal. And you know, I've just totally been a fan of this guy since day one. And you know, I think that they need to keep him on the bag. I think that when he plays first more often, you know, it just keeps him a little bit more loose, a little bit more limber. Like he's still a young guy, and you know, you can't have him sitting on the bench and being a DH. I just think it's almost like a waste of his abilities. What do you think on that?
Well, I the year that he had the 30 homers and the 100 RBIs, he was primarily a DH. So I think that would probably run counter to that idea. I don't know that it's a waste of his abilities when they've got a first baseman in Edwin Encarnacion who's every bit as good defensively and might be better. Probably is better defensively. I think that, you know, there are guys whose best position is bat, and Adam Lind doesn't hurt you at first base by any means, but he's also not hurting you as the DH either.
Okay, cool. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. You have a good night.
Thanks. And, you know, they've worked him in at first quite a bit, and John Gibbons has done a great job at keeping both Lind and Encarnacion fresh, and I think that's been pretty outstanding. And they're both doing a great job. And Lind again today, the huge 3-run homer in the first inning to help the Blue Jays to this 5-2 win. More of your calls coming up, but right now, let's listen in on a bit of what John Gibbons had to say in the wake of today's 8th straight Blue Jays victory.
Your thoughts on Emilio Bonifacio's game today, and are you surprised on the way he's playing defense recently?
Yeah, I tell you what, he's playing great defense. He really is. You know, and he got off to a slow start this year, you know, but he's really settled in. You know, that catch he made on, you know, jumping on that line drive. And then I tell you, he's got tremendous range, and he really goes well to his left. Yeah, he's settled in nicely. He's doing a nice job over there. And, of course, he got the big double. You know, I think it's close where he's really going to take off with the bat. You know, I mean, you get that feeling. It hasn't happened really for him yet, but, you know, he pitches in a hit every now and then and does some good things. When he gets on the base, he's tough to stop. But defensively, yeah, he's playing really good out there.
We talked about the bullpen before the game and just another, you know, stellar outing from them. Can you just talk about, you know, the decision to go to them after the Burley's 5th and just Cecil in particular, what he did out there tonight?
Well, I mean, as far as Burley goes, I mean, it was a battle for him tonight. You know, it was a gutsy outing. I mean, he wasn't on. I mean, ball was up a little bit today, but he did what he does best. He makes a pitch when he has to. You know, he keeps him off balance. He'll throw anything at any time. But it was a tough outing for him. But he limited him to 2 runs, and so we figured after the 5th that was enough. And then, of course, Wagner came in, and he's been on a nice little roll. And Cecil, I think, the record? So that kind of speaks for itself. And then, of course, Delabarre walks first guy and then blows the next 3 away. So, yeah, and then Jansen, I mean, he's been good all year. So, I mean, what can you say? I mean, you've been saying it over and over every day, you know. And there's going to be times they're going to give up some runs, but right now they're on some kind of roll.
John, tonight it was Adam, it's been Colby, it's been Jose, it's been a bunch of guys. Is there a feeling in the dugout at certain points in the game where you guys just know that
somebody's going to come through the way the offense is going right now?
Well, yeah, I mean, when you get on winning streaks, yeah, I mean, there's always a good feeling in there. And to do that, everybody's got to be pitching in one way or the other. And they've all been doing it. I mean, you look up and down their lineup, somebody's getting a key hit here or there, a big walk, or doing some stealing a base, something like that. They've all been pitching in, you know, whether we're going right-handed lineup or left-handed lineup. So everything's clicking right now. You know, you almost hate to have a day off tomorrow, but, you know, that's still probably doing some good. But, yeah, they're on a roll. See, you feel good about anybody that's coming up there, really. And, you know, we're always a threat for the long ball. I mean, especially in this ballpark. So that way you can strike quick.
And they did tonight in the first inning. Adam Lind with a 3-run homer to give the Blue Jays all they would need. They beat the Colorado Rockies 5-2. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. Back to your phone calls. Chris in Newmarket. Welcome aboard, Chris.
Okay, Mike, here it is. Confession time.
All right.
I was one of those guys, those ultra-negative guys that you wanted to hear from.
So much so that
you actually blocked me on Twitter.
Aha.
And that was in April. So, listen, I am still a realist. Like, things are going great, but you got to look at it this way. They are a game below 500, while the rest of the division is above 500.
Well, hold on a minute. If you were one of the ultra-negative people in April, how can you say you're still a realist? That would infer that you were a realist back then as well.
Touche. I can't argue that point.
All right.
So, but listen, with that being said, what the Jays have taught me is that you got to be more of a glass half full and less of a glass half empty guy. And that's about all I got to say.
Well, I'm glad you're still around, and I'm glad that you're enjoying this this return to where they ought to be. Because I do think there are a lot of people who just, I mean, there are a lot of people who told me that they were giving up, that it's over, that forget it, they're not watching anymore, they're not listening anymore, nothing like that. I don't believe that they actually did. I think that they might have been a little less invested, and they might have, kept half an eye on what was going on, if only to say when the Blue Jays suffered their 100th loss of the season, see, I told you the whole time they were never going to be any good. And now that things are going well, I hope that they've all come back and that they're all enjoying what's going on right now. But there will be another 4 or 5 game losing streak. I promise you that. Jim in Niagara Falls, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I'm actually in Hamilton now, but don't worry about it.
Oh, all right.
I went to watch the Bisons play, and I watched Romero pitch.
Excellent. What'd you
think? Really, really, really sharp. It looked very, very sharp.
Yeah, that's 3 good starts in a row for Ricky now.
Yeah, and he made 2 great defensive plays.
Really?
But they lost the game because of Ghosts. There was 2 out, bottom of the 9th, up by a run. Fly ball, just he lets it bounce in front of him. Runner scores from third, and instead of throwing the ball in, he just bobbles the ball, lobs it back to the second baseman, and the extra runner comes in and scores to beat him.
Ah, that's too bad.
The manager was sad at him. He pulled him because he was supposed to bat in the 9th. Pinch hit for him. He got the boo bird. He just totally blew the game for him. But Romero looked really, really sharp.
Very interesting. All right, well, I appreciate the update. Thank you very much. And it's, you know, Ricky Romero, 7 innings, gave up a run. It was unearned on 5 hits with 3 walks and 6 strikeouts. And again, that's 3 very, very strong starts all in a row for Ricky Romero, and it's great to see that things are starting to turn around for him down in Buffalo. Alan in Toronto. Alan, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
In the 7th inning, Arenado did a very poor job of holding Roger Davis. You know, he should have checked the runner better and then gunned it the first. He kind of lobbed it, you know, he kind of airmailed it. But do you give credit for Roger for being a heads-up base runner? Because I don't think a lot of base runners wouldn't be going to third from second in a situation like that.
No, Roger Davis did a great job. You're right. I don't think Arenado lobbed it over. And, you know, he threw the ball hard and he beat Bautista by half a step, if that. And Davis did a great job going, watching and waiting and waiting. And as soon as Arenado let that ball go, he was on the move.
And another thing I wanted to talk to you about for a long time, I've often heard of pitchers throwing at batters, but never in the history of the game have I ever heard of a hitter intentionally hitting a pitcher.
Well, because they can't.
They'd have to have impeccable bat control, wouldn't they?
Anybody, anybody who's good enough to hit a pitcher on purpose with a line drive should bat about 800.
Mm-hmm. Like Desmond Jennings, he had nothing against A.J. Happ.
Of course and, not.
No, and Cobb got hit. Otherwise, Roger Clemens, somebody would have hit under him a long time ago because he was a hit under himself. So, you know, somebody, if I was a batter, I'd have a grudge against Clemens. And I to be honest with you, I'd try to hit him. When you're up at the plate, you kind of stick to what you know best. If you're a pole hitter or you're hitting to the opposite field, you kind of stick to know what you'll.
Yeah, Alan, and it's, you know, it's not physically possible for someone to go up and aim a baseball and drill it exactly where they want to. Again, if it was, there would be guys who would never get out, and hit line drives exactly where the fielders were not. All the time, and you know, when you think about it, and there's never been a player in the history of the major leagues who's even managed to not get out half the time, at least half the time. What you're asking is pretty much a physical impossibility. But I enjoy the creativity that comes up with stuff like that. Thank you for the call, Daniel. You're next in Toronto. You're on the Blue Jays Talk.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
All right. Go ahead.
So what have we learned in hindsight from why the Jays stunk it up so badly at the beginning and why they're playing so well now? Other than the obvious, they're hitting better and pitching better.
Yeah.
Is it something we can reverse engineer and learn so we can maybe, or they can avoid it, you know, to slump again? Or is there anything that we can really pick apart and understand how it went so wrong and why it's going so right?
No, I really don't think there is. I mean, it's, you know, you're dealing with human beings, and human beings are prone to inconsistency, they're prone to injury, and they're not going to be at their best all the time. And you know, when you look back at spring training, was there anything that went on in the spring that you would think that they were unprepared for the season and not ready to answer when the bell rang? I can't think of anything.
What's confusing to me is that the bad was so bad and the good is so good. There was very little in between.
There was quite a bit of in between, though. I mean, they were 10-21 on May 4th, right? And that was the end of when the bad was really bad.
Yeah.
And they're 12-4 in June. So from the 4th of May to the 1st of June, the Blue Jays were 12-11. So there was your in between.
Okay.
Yeah. I think that, you know, what you have to do is just look at these guys for who they are. And the same stuff I was saying in April when everything was going so terribly and there were people who actually suggested, seriously, that this team had a shot at losing 100 games and being the worst team in the major leagues, is that track records do mean something. And guys get back to who they're supposed to be. And very often when they're off to such a terrible start, like so many of them got to this year, getting back to where they ought to be gets to be really, really good for a while. And I think that's what we're going through right now.
I had a great time watching them when they were crap. I had a great time watching them when they're playing well. I just, you know, it's going to be a fun rest of the season. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I think so, too. Thank you for the call, Daniel. Appreciate it. Blue Jays beat the Rockies 5-2 today. They have won 8 straight, and they're 1 game under .500. Andy is in Vaughan. You're going to be the last one. You got about 45 seconds.
Hey, Mike. Quickly, the starting staff now. I know a while back they were ranked like really poorly in the league. I think like 27th or 28th overall, their ERA.
Yeah?
Yeah, no.
I don't know. I mean, it's been pretty spectacular for a little while, but there's such a hole that they had to dig out of. But I'll tell you right now, their starting pitcher's ERA in overall in the major leagues, right now the Blue Jays are 28th at .485. Going into today, .485, and that goes down a bit with Mark Burley's start today. But yeah, the hole they built for themselves was pretty huge. So 28th still overall in starting pitcher's ERA. And that's with this little run that they've been on, when today was the first time in 7 games that a starting pitcher gave up more than one run. Another tremendous game and a well-earned day off. The Blue Jays beat the Colorado Rockies 5-2. We will be back here for you Friday. And the Jays open up 10 straight against the AL East. It begins here at Rogers Center with 3 in a row against the Baltimore Orioles. R.A. Dickey on the hill. A new opening day, if you will, against the 7-4 Jason Hamill. Make sure you join us then. Enjoy the off day. Thanks for all the calls. We'll see you Friday.